Welcome in to the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Got a great show today, folks. I tell you what, I'm going to throw you a curveball here today. That's what I'm going to do. Originally, we had Tiago Luis Tichetti, say that 10 times fast, with us. Unfortunately, he is working for the Brazilian government. And the Brazilian government, although you would think it's all sunshine, rainbows, and tropical drinks, it's not over there. They decided they were going to have him work late tonight and have him do some stuff. So he's going to reschedule and come back with us a different day. And we're going to talk about Kolaris and the UFO situation down there. In the meantime, we have a good friend with us who's going to talk spooky stories with us tonight, which is good. Which we're gonna go to England. We're gonna go to jolly old England. Which I've been looking forward to having this friend with us for quite a while, and he's got some good stories for us today. David Clark's with us today, and we're gonna talk about ghost town events over in England today. Dave has an interesting background here. Dave's been with Ghost Hunt Events Paranormal Team since 2018, and he's been involved with guests for a number of years now and giving them tours over there in different haunted locations. He claims that he's more famous and deadly than the infamous Salem witch trials. He says this. I didn't. We'll let him explain when he comes on. And noted for its persecution of witches, he says that along the way, I'm going to let him explain some of this.
Yeah, I'm happy to explain that to me.
Please,
okay.
Please do, Dave. He says his various travels have led him to investigate haunted hotels, poltergeist populated prisons, and frightening forts. I love the alliteration, by the way.
Thank you.
He also hosts, produces, creates an internet radio show, which has been airing weekly since 2012 from Brooklyn to Wickford and a few places in between. We'll link that up in the description of this program. Thank you. So you can check out Dave's program as well as multiple appearances and a few creative contributions to other radio shows, including this one now, podcasts across the years as well. And let's welcome in for the first time to Darkness Radio, Dave Clark. Dave, how you doing?
Thank you, Timmy. Long-time listener, first-time caller. to pinch something off a very popular sitcom from Seattle. But welcome. Thank you so much for letting me come on the show and such a brilliant introduction, as you always do. And the bits there with witches is how I kind of got into the paranormal. Was my junior school at the time had a topic of witches and how popular Chelmsford was during the days of Matthew Hopkins. Oh. And Matthew Hopkins basically persecuted more witches than Salem in the era of Chelmsford. And that's where that little segment came from.
Oh,
and that
okay.
kind of stuck with me as in junior school. And then kind of I started reading up on that and our little history segment. Then I was then raided my local school library, which we went from Doctor Who books to all the actual work that you could read on Doctor Who things rather than just the TV show and the haunting tales and paranormal sci-fi tales that they had across the universe there. And then went into an Osborne book, which had unknown mysteries and had cryptids, had UFO stories, and then had ghost stories. And that's what really kind of lit the match, so to speak, on the paranormal, and went from there and investigated, reading up so much about the paranormal, and went from there, really. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of my very poor origin story.
No.
Certainly, but I know Stanley writes them far, far better. And that's the thing is at the time I was from a broken family and my teacher said, go to the library, go and read. And that's what I did. I kind of started reading. Well, I know Doctor Who, I'll read that. Then found this Osborne book with all of these different things. And then, well, I knew about Loch Ness, but then they went stories from there and the UFOs of Betty and Barney Hill and then Roswell and everything else and kind of like fell down the rabbit hole of that because there was no internet really at the time, being of a certain age that I am now. there wasn't that at the time. So and that, it was just fantastic. And trying to work out, well, you know, some of the that there was that very famous picture from 1930s of Loch Ness, and it was then debunked because it was like the, well, I believe they call it the doctor's photo and things like this, that they debunked it and everything from there. But at that time, that was front and center in that book, you know, to go from there. And that's the thing, is kind of with the paranormal investigation I do with my guests at Ghost Hunt events, we have people who are skeptic and some who are believers, and we go along the night to let the guests do their own investigations. We have groups, so we go to one event, we'll have a group of say 30 people, we'll put them into three teams and then put them into smaller groups and take them around the venues, give them the equipment you see on the TV shows, the EVPs, we get them to use their phones, take pictures. And I've had DMs at 3 o'clock in the morning saying, I've got this EVP and there's only me and my sister in the cellar, why is this man coming through? And I then had to explain that you've caught something there, thank you very much for letting me know, you can put it on a group page and the other team will discuss it with us as well. So, and it's, you know, our guests get to find all of that stuff as well. And I managed to, the other weekend, I had a skeptic go completely, lose all the blood in his face and hug the back of the wall in the cellar down in Colchester, because he saw something with 4 or 5 other people and looking back at him, and he couldn't explain it. And he couldn't talk. I've never seen a guest lose all their blood in their face before, go completely kind of very much, is it Fester Adams, where he goes completely, where they're completely, that type of colour in your face, you lose all that colour. And about half an hour later, he come round saying, I was a sceptic about an hour ago. You kind of, you know, you turned me a little bit, as it were.
Is there a little bit of a adrenaline rush when you get that reaction?
I have to say yes, because I love what I do. I'm a volunteer as far as with that, and a volunteer and a few other things, what to do the radio and other things, but having guests have a great experience is fantastic to me, and seeing stuff that for me and for other people, where if it's paranormal and it's something, a lot of the time my body reacts, my brain doesn't necessarily compute what I've seen. So if I've seen a shadow person, which I've seen in the past, my brain's not computing till later, saying, well, that was possibly shocking, but at the time it's like, wow, what have you just seen? But you know what, Tim, and with all these guys, we had 7 or 8 people down in that cellar. I looked round at them and I told them off, because not one bugger, sorry, excuse the language,
okay,
but not one bugger had lifted up their phone and was taking a photo or taking a video. They were still gawping down the end of the cellar. And that was our only route of escape, was that those cellar stairs. But I looked around and go, yeah, that's about right. Not one of them has picked up a phone to take a picture of what we were seeing, which was a figure down the other end looking back at us.
Let me ask you this, Dave, because a lot of times when you've got your guests and you're going on these different haunts, you do get a lot of novices. Let's face it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Is it hard for you to keep them focused on maybe being in the moment and not in a piece of technology, trying to focus too hard on the technology and what they're getting either in a camera or in a recorder or on a meter, and trying to pay attention to what it is that's around them and be in the moment? How do you keep them balanced between the technology and in the moment?
Absolutely. And what we do try and say to the guests is, yes, you've got the equipment, and I'll use the Hexcom as an example shortly, but ideally for them to use their own senses. Yes, you've got your phones and you can take your photos, but use your senses that God gave you, similar to what Mr. Holzer was saying when he was doing the investigations. Use your senses. You've got a pen and a piece of paper. That's all you need. And that, ideally, for what I'd say to the guests is, you know, be present in the moment. Look at what's around you. Yes, use the equipment, because that Hexcom may say, you know, because it's only got a certain amount of library of words, may say prison or may say demon, but actually it's not what it's meaning. It means something completely else, and you need to be mindful of what you're doing in that, wherever you are at that time, to interpret what it's saying there. But what's going on around you? Unfortunately, I've got the Robin Williams type hair, that my hair stands up an awful lot if we get a change in temperature and things that way. And just be mindful to the guests of what they're experiencing, and not to freak out as well. I I always say to them, and my colleagues in the teams have a bingo card for me, but I always say to them, ideally, you know, if you see me running, keep up. But other than that, stay where you are, you're fine. And that's absolutely, you know, what we try and say. And I've never had to do that. Ideally, you know, we've had stuff happen that we can't explain, but then there may be something. It might be the air conditioning unit going off. It may be the windows open. It's an old hotel and there's just a draft, or where we are in some areas, there are still people are still out having drinks and laughing and shouting. So that's clearly not a paranormal experience. So we always try and take out, you know, work out what it is and what it could be, and then maybe it could be paranormal at the end of that as well. But certainly, yeah, be live in the moment, Tim. Yeah, definitely.
Before we get to your history, there's something, you know, we were talking a weekend or two ago. You were doing something on one of your tours, one of your haunts, that we don't do a lot here in America, which I wish we do more of, and that's table tipping.
Yes.
You were telling me that you were conducting a table tipping experiment.
Yeah.
How often do you do that on your tours?
So if I'm at the venues, ideally we do that every night. So if we're doing it on a Friday and a Saturday night, we do table tipping. And I'm the jumpman, so where we have certain members of the team do certain things. So Thomas is with me, he will do the equipment, and he's great with it. He's very good. He's an IT guy generally by trade. And we have Steve, who is his company, Steve Moyle. And ideally for him, he's a medium. He's like, as I say to the guests, he's the person who sees dead people, like in the movies. You know, I might have a little bit of clairaudient, but ideally for Steve, he sees dead people. He tells us what's going in the room. He's able to describe what's in the room with us and what they're doing. So if they're moving the table, they're almost doing like a Spider-Man type motion to send energy to that table and moving it. But yeah, if I'm on a paranormal evening, I'm doing the table tipping and the spirit boards, Ouija boards, and I have my 10 guests. I split them into smaller groups. I've learned to try and keep the people who are related together in the same small group.
Really?
Ideally, if I then get a yes and no response, and that message is coming through for them, that it's all one message. So rather than getting a mixed message, I'll populate them so that we're getting them kind of a little bit more accurate when we do. That's all I've just found over past experience on that. But ideally, we try and get, obviously, the spirits that are within the property, and that ghost at the table tipping, ideally, we'll get the spirit will come through and try and move the table. But it doesn't just end there. The table doesn't always just move. I get guests moved, pushed and pulled. I had a lady the weekend before, she was not almost bowing. And that was a relative of her coming through. And it was, we were only getting yes and no responses on that. And it's just, ideally, it was a relative of them who kind of took, when they were explaining the backstory of who this person was, that would make sense for her to be bowed, and because he liked that particular person. So rather than being, as he was moving the other people around the table, he was really pushing them. For that particular person, he thought, because he recognized her, it was just a gentle push and pull. But I've had guests being moved from side to side and pushed into people, and the table moving. I've had the table move, literally slide in some, almost slide at some stages. And we've got evidence on our YouTube page of where it's, ideally, I will stand away. I'll open the table up and I'll close it. But ideally, I'm watching what we have. So ideally, the guests have got just one finger on there. Or if I see anything that I'm not happy with, I'll change the guests and move them around. So we're not manipulating the table. And just to, in my experience of that, that seems to work. And we get some really positive effects from the table tipping. And the spirit board, the Ouija boards as well. I say that. And there's one of the reasons why I say spirit boards rather than Ouija boards is people hear that word and I don't want to take part. And I understand that. And they have stories of their own which they come along with as well.
Dave, let me ask you a quick question here, because there's a little bit of a cultural investigative divide when it comes to your side of the pond and my side of the pond, because I was thinking about this when you were telling me about a particular instance that had happened when you were table tipping. You had mentioned that, you know, people were being pushed around a little bit. And I thought, wait a minute, that doesn't seem right to me, because here on this side of the pond, when you say people are getting pushed and shoved, that's an aggressive act. And here on this side of the pond, when people are getting pushed and shoved, that's an act of aggression. And at that point, people want to be removed from a hunt. They're like, wait a minute. Okay, at this point, that's a malevolent spirit, and maybe it's an aggressive spirit, and that's at a point where maybe we want to separate people. We want to let things cool down.
Yeah.
With table tipping, you're just getting started. You're just getting things cooking, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And that's the thing, it's this, you know, we always say about paranormal activity happening during the day as well as in the evening, and more susceptible to be more active in the evening. But the amount of sessions that I have, that sometimes the early sessions, almost like there's not a switch to switch them on and off, but the earlier sessions sometimes are a little bit quieter. I never have the same session twice, but I understand certainly where you're coming from about the manipulation and people being worried about being pushed and pulled. But I explain that when I start the table tipping, I go into a little bit of a history about the Fox sisters and a little bit into that, and how that was a, you know, they would fill halls with that. Obviously the ultimate story. And I said, look, you go and look into there, fall down that rabbit hole of that, but ideally this is what we're going to be doing tonight. Ideally the table is going to move for a yes and no response, but if you feel that you're being pushed and pulled, and I've had guests not tell me that they're being pushed. I had one gentleman, he was relatively, there's a teen between 18 and 21, and he didn't want to tell me until after that he'd been pushed and pulled, because he didn't feel to be weakened, that he was getting anything come through. Then we were done the session a bit later. He was more involved with it, and we got a message come through particularly for him on that. And because that's where we get in the push and pull sometimes, that's the message for them. Hmm. So I can understand the differences across the ditch here in the UK. That ideally, you know, if you're being pushed and pulled, well, that's a big no. But ideally, when we're doing it in this environment, it's controlled as much as we can, because there are times that someone is being pushed and pulled, and I'll take them out of the room if it's uncomfortable for them, or if it's actually hurting. And I've never had it so they're actually being hurt, but they just don't feel right with it. They feel being made to feel sick sometimes and things like that. And that's where sometimes I'll just take them out of the room, literally take them out of the room. If we're in the fort, I take them into the main courtyard and everything on the main yard there. Ideally, like what I was saying to you the other day, just on the in the cellar of the Red Lion Hotel, the person was being pushed and pulled, and down the readout fort as well, the people being pushed, and whether gently being pushed, it was ideally that message was a relative of theirs that come through. And it wasn't a malice as far as a malevolent thing to say, you know, I want to do harm with you. It was, I've got a message for you. And that's how it came across with that. And there was two or three of them who were related, and others were partners of theirs. And that partner, now this is the thing where I've got to try and understand that it's not the guests making this up. But three of them were off the table. Two of them were on the table before, and they were being moved. I moved them away from the table, but the husband got a massive shove behind him.
Okay.
Now, we then found out that his name is Lee, and the person on the table who was doing the moving was called Lee, but he'd passed away. And that, once he got shoved, that was the answer to, we were trying to work out who this person was. We know he was related, we know he was male, and we know roughly the age of when he passed away and things that way, just on what we were asking. But when he then got shoved and his name was, hang on a minute, Lee passed away, and then we asked, is that you? And then it come through, yes, it was. And he kind of had to push the husband, who was in the background going, I don't really want to pay attention to this. And he was doing that. But I had to be conscious that these guys were all together, and it wasn't them manipulating us as other guests that was happening. But they were being pushed and pulled and things like that. So that's something that I, as I said, never get the same story twice I never get the same guests and events happen in these venues, Tim.
So are they almost trying to move people around to say, I want this one to come forward and talk to me and I want to move that one aside? Is that what's going on?
Well, that's the thing is that we were getting, when I took them off the table, I said, well, look, we'll just move it around now. And they were still feeling they were being pushed and pulled. But the table was still moving as well. But it was just like, this is still the same male person coming through, and we couldn't figure out who it was. And then Lee got shoved, and it was Lee who had passed. Which is kind of like, wow, okay, that would then make sense why you would shove them. If you're called Lee, you would throw the person in the room who's called Lee. Sounds very fantastical when you kind of play it back in your head and when you say it out loud, but that's what we were getting. And this is the thing, again, where I explain it to the guests is not to be worried. This may happen. Sometimes it doesn't happen. When we walk the table up and down the second floor of the Charlton House in London, and that's all what will happen. And at this stage, that we had people being pushed and pulled.
That's fascinating. You know, it's one of those things that we don't really do, as you put it, on the side of the ditch, because I don't know. It's a lost, it's lost, I think, over here, because we try to focus too much on quote unquote scientific things. Right. There's too much of the skeptic that's thrown into the investigation and a lot of the old world stuff. And I hate to use the word old world stuff, traditional, the traditional scientific, the traditional investigative techniques are kind of thrown out by the wayside. The baby's thrown out with the bathwater, and we're not using some of the really cool investigative techniques. We're not throwing down baby powder. We're not using table tipping. We're not doing some of the cooler stuff that really maybe we should be, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this week I was just taking my daughter to the library, and I want to go to the charity shop, and just happened to be on the side there was some Scrabble letters. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to, the next time I go out, when we get in a yes and no, or have on a table separate there, just some Scrabble letters. Maybe we may not get anything from it. It may be completely gibberish, but I want to throw that into the mix as well. And where I'm only getting a yes and no response, can I then get something from there? So it's always trying to be ahead of the curve and be as like with the skeptics as well. It's kind of like, you know, if we can't prove it's that, then can we then get a name through there? You never know. But we'll wait. I'll let you know on that one, Tim. So.
I think in the process of trying to communicate, we try to get so high tech, but we don't think to ourselves, you know, a lot of these spirits didn't deal in high tech. So maybe we're trying to shoot too high, right?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, is the technology is great. And obviously there's been absolutely thousands of them. But at the end of the day, if I've got an extended table tipping table, an extended TV table, which we're using as a table tipping table, and it's working great, then that's fine. And then we've got the spirit board down the other end coming through with the names and things, then that's all well and good and giving us messages. So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
the simplest thing is working. So
Well, I tell you what, we'll take our break here, Dave. When we come back, I want to find out a little bit more about you and your beginnings, and then I want to talk a little bit about some of what you're doing with your company and some of the things that because you've worked with Ghost Adventures before. So
the company has, yes.
The company
yes,
has, indeed. Yeah. Yes, so I want to get into that and find out how that whole adventure happened and how that started. Ghost Hunt Events is, I tell you what, we're going to link up to that as well to the Facebook page.
Thank you.
So that people can get an idea of what goes on there. You mentioned Charlton House, which I snuck a peek and took a look at some of the events that are going on there with Ghost Hunt Events there in England. So the Ghost Hunt Paranormal team has a lot going on. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on with them coming up in the next few months here on the other side of the break. We'll talk about some past investigations, and we'll also talk a little bit about David's beginnings coming up next with David Clark right here on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, Trust Indeed sponsored jobs. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed. Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed sponsored jobs. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed. Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed sponsored jobs. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. My guest is David Clark. And the topic today, well, we're talking investigating, paranormal investigating and paranormal investigating over in England, as opposed to here in America. And we're talking about ghost hunt events over in England, which is the company that David works for. and they've worked in the past with Ghost Adventures. So we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later in the program. I want to first talk about David himself as an investigator and his beginnings, because, of course, we all have to get into this one way or another, or get interested in this one way or another. You did talk about going to the library and learning about things like Betty and Barney Hill and finding out some of these things by book. First of all, I have to ask you, you did mention Doctor Who and reading the books, but did you read the books or watch the TV shows first? Because generally here in America, Dave, we yeah. see the program first and then we read the books.
Yes.
Was it the books first and then the program for you?
No, for me, it was Tom Baker and Doctor Who there. And I would be sitting around my nan's, because basically my nan would look after me certain weekends. Of all things, it was a very varied afternoon, put it that way, because that would come on about tea time. And my nan was very much into musicals and things like that. So we would watch a Fred Astaire thing or a James Cagney movie. Mm-hmm. And then Doctor Who would come on, and then I'd be watching Tom Baker and be enthralled by that. My auntie, who my nan looked after, she would be usually hiding behind the sofa. she was, and my auntie Julie would be hiding behind the sofa because of the monsters and everything else. But to me, it was kind of like a fantastic world, brilliant stories, and this magic man, huge man with great authority, asking people if they'd like a jelly baby, but being kind, but also not killing everyone and stopping people from dying. So it was, for me, I took it as a positive, and I still do the current series and everything else of Doctor Who has, and the incarnations that they've had. Been more than happy. My kids have grown up loving them, and David Tennant is my eldest daughter's one, and yeah, it's a brilliant franchise. And I just happened to go to the library and found the books, and Terry Nation and all these great writers, Douglas Adams, he wrote a Doctor Who novel. Mm-hmm. And these shows, so I kind of like, wow, these great writers, and then kind of went down the Douglas Adams route as well, and his top of Python sense of humor and weird and tales of, you know, appearing on a sofa in the middle of Lords and all this thing. So it was a crossover of worlds, which enthralled me a lot. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Such a rich history in that franchise that
yes.
it's amazing, you know, and it's so rare to have a history in a franchise that has so many talented people that have lent their talents to a franchise to keep it going for that long. So
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you this. What's that initial experience as far as the paranormal goes that lights that fire for you, that you go, you know what, I've got to do this now. I've got to keep coming back time after time and figure out whether there really is something on the other side, or is this just a trick of light or trick of shadow that pulls me in time and time again?
And this is the thing, is it's been an experience over time with me, from my first experience of being on an investigation in Stratford-upon-Avon at the Falstaff Museum. And it happened to be who I was with at the time. It was their birthday and they had a big badge on. And the guy said, well, you've come around the museum, and as it's your birthday, if you want to come with us, we're doing a paranormal investigation. So I had, it was basically, and with my wife to say, now wife, should I say, to say that, you know, I could take you to go and see the Shakespeare because we're in Stratford, or would you like to have this? So with a free ticket in mind, we chose the ghost hunt. And we saw a couple of shadow things. We heard noises. We had people shoot up and down the stairs, and we knew where everyone was. And that kind of got me. It pulled me in, similar to kind of almost The Godfather once, you know, it pulled me in to kind of like, you know, what are you going to find next? And there was some really strange stuff that I couldn't explain. Things going off, electrical equipment going off that didn't have batteries in it, but were the sensors in the museum were going off. And it was just fantastic to me. So and with ideally where I got involved with ghost hunt events was down to yourself, Tim, I have to say. So I was looking for Coast to Coast for a podcast and things like this, but Darkness Radio come up on my feed. I then fell down the rabbit hole of you guys talking about cryptids and UFOs, but also on how to do paranormal investigations. Huh. And you guys were coming across about your experiences and with shadow people coming at you, but also how to use the equipment when guests had questions. And it was down to you guys that I then grabbed the rope, as it were, and pulled myself up to go and look to the top of the hill and see what I could find. And so that's, you know, I know I've spoken to you in the past, but mm-hmm. just a big thank you to you, Mally, and Dave, and everyone on the team in the past who've spoken on Darkness Radio. And we touched on a little while back about Father Calder, how as an influence to all of us, that how the paranormal works, but also in the afterlife, what could actually happen, that our relatives look after us, but also, and that's the thing. So when I go on these investigations, ideally we look for, paranormal of the property, and the Alice Catherine Miller in the Red Lion, and the Headless Soldier in the Redoubt Fort, and the ghosts of Charlton House that we come across, we still get our relatives come through for our guests. And with that bingo card, you know, like I said, about making people cry, getting the T-shirt at the Christmas thing of how many people I made cry. And for us, ideally the guests having their own experiences. And that's the great thing. All these different guests who've come with us. And I've had guests come over from the States. We had people who were looking after President Obama's Air Force One, and they then come to us later on to an investigation. Wow. And they were kind enough. I have a box of matches from one of the guests saying, thank you so much, we booked again, you can have this. So I have that sitting in my front room.
Oh, wow.
A box of the matches from Air Force One, all down to you guys and in influence in me in going and doing a paranormal investigation. And with the Ghost Hunt events, I was a guest. I started off a guest at one start of the summer in 2018. They were going back to the same venue later on that summer, and I got an email back from them because I emailed, so you ever need any help? And the first line said, yeah, we remember you, Dave. And I'm going, oh, God, no. But it was like, you, and underneath that, it said, no, you asked the right questions. Please turn up. This is the time. And I do when I come on radio, I can't do it tonight. But I brought biscuits and we had a chat and we had a fantastic night. And then I've been a volunteer ever since. And I now host the events. I will host, you know, I will to do that. And we have fantastic nights. You know, I've been to all over the country. You know, I'm very lucky with that.
So, yeah, absolutely.
And ghosthuntevents.co.uk is the website which you've cheated to have a look at, which is fine. And they do so much stuff. They go up and they literally have events every weekend, generally across the year. If you've got friends and family, because that's the thing, is like when I mentioned to it on the proper job that I do during the day, people ask about that. But other people go, no, it's not for me. But they have relatives who are interested. And I say to them, look, you know, you can buy them a voucher for Christmas. And then, you know, that goes towards what they want to come along. But you can stay at home and do whatever you want. That's fine. But we're very lucky with that. So,
well, I think most people, especially people who listen to this program, right, are looking for something different, exciting to do when they're on vacation, especially when they're in your neck of the woods. And let's face it. Now, I wanted to bring this up, Dave. Let's face it.
Yes, yes.
You are extreme. I don't think you realize how extremely privileged you are to be in the area of the world that you're in.
Absolutely.
I mean, when we talk about investigating here in this area of the country, I think you've heard us talk about it before.
Yeah, we
think we have ordinary garden variety ghosts here, right? I mean, you might see the, okay, if you see a ghost of a cowboy, big deal, you know, 100-year-old ghost. Yes. You're talking about, you know, ancient ghosts, right? I mean,
absolutely.
You just threw out Shakespeare like it was nothing, right? Like it was,
absolutely.
You know, Shakespeare. And we salivate over here, right? At the idea of maybe you might run into Shakespeare, right?
Well, apologies, Tim, for jumping in, but on that event, we had one of the people who worked there, and he'd only been there 2 weeks. And the first week he was there, someone was looking in the window where he's up at the till. And he, what about that? And he looked through, and it was a cavalier was looking back at him. So he thought, okay, so he'd come around the till, he went outside and he wasn't there. So he was like a bit shocked. And that was just his first week there, you know. So it's kind of this, 5'10" cavalier with all dressed up in boots and everything else, apparently was looking through the window just on someone who worked there. So it's just, it's fascinating.
I'm telling you. See, those are the type of, experiences that, investigators hear and over here on this side, I think we salivate about, we think about, if we ever had the chance, right? But but those opportunities are there. We just need to find out how we can get them. That's
absolutely.
Yeah.
Just so lucky. And that's the thing is if you look on the map, on the ley lines of the UK, of where Colchester is and where we go there, there's a big red spot of lots of lines crossing over there. And that's one that we believe is one of the reasons why the Red Lion and the hotel across the way and the town hall all have these paranormal activities. Even the shops, when I started going there, I then had a chat with all the people who would work in those shops, and they've had paranormal experiences. So it's not just the one place. Other people have had that as well. So there's something definitely going on, and we're very lucky with that.
Is it a little less taboo there than it is here? I mean, you don't just walk up to somebody inside a bar here and say, "Hey, you had any ghosts happen in the bar here?"
Well, that's the thing. It's kind of I just happened to say to them, "Oh, I'm next door over the weekend. We're going to do a paranormal investigation." I just happened to hear that. Obviously we know it's paranormal, and where you are, we've had footsteps where we're in the cellar below you. Have you had anything? And that's it. They're alight, and they kind of I was doing stock taking, and there was only me, and but there were steps coming from behind me, so I. So it was getting that, and then in the stock room of M&S, which is a massive superstore next to the hotel, the stock room had poltergeist activity. They had stuff happen and other things happen, and then they would go, sometimes they would go in pairs and things like this. So it's interesting that it's on that same site that so much stuff has happened. So, and we know it's happened over hundreds of years because people lived in those properties where the hotel was, and that you can read it up famously online, but they thought to stop that ghost coming through the wall, they would brick it up, and it didn't stop the Alice Catherine Miller, who was unfortunately murdered in the property, and she would still come through the wall. Go back to the 1800s, they thought, we'll put bricks up, that'll stop it. And it didn't at all.
Even though there's a huge true crime culture over here, it seems like the paranormal culture has died down slightly. Especially with the paranormal shows being pulled off of American TV, it seems like things have cooled a little.
Yeah, no exposure to, and that's the thing is, if you really want it, there's loads of things online, and obviously the guys on Watcher, they're doing new shows and everything, which is fantastic. And you've got some specials and things coming out all the time, and obviously Zach promoting his museum.
Yep.
And, so there's there, if you're interested in the paranormal and great shows like yourselves, and certainly with the interviews that you guys have, and what you, Tim O'Malley and things, where you have, and Mally, where you have your interviews. I'm always saying to them at my events, say, look, if you want to check it out, you've got YouTube, but you've got Darkness Radio, look on their podcasts, because you don't take guests lightly. If there's something which isn't quite right, the way the interview techniques you have, if someone's pulling their chain, as it were, and it's very lower the tone analogy, but ideally, you've come across those in the past and you've, worked out, with that. But there is so much stuff out there. If you look, it's still there, but you're right though, because there is no TV shows. Discovery's pulled all the apologies who the hire company is for that, have now pulled the funding for that. And like with Jason Hawes and things like this, he still has YouTube to go to, and just push his own shows that way, which is unfortunately, that's the way it's having to go on, I believe. So, or unless someone like Netflix or, someone comes in, because that Netflix show which there is another season, I think, coming out of that, whether we're doing it for so many nights. And I apologise, I've forgotten the name of the show, but they were doing it for so many nights,
right,
or so many weeks, yeah, and, yep, and they were going to do another season of that. But yep, but that's the thing, you've got The Conjuring coming out, and I know you've discussed it on the show, but obviously with Ed and Lorraine's Warren's legacy now, and ideally with Andrea Perrin and things with The Conjuring House, that's still on the radar of pop culture.
Yep.
So it hasn't gone away. It's just kind of limited to what you can see and hear these days.
Yeah, you know, it. I would think, well, especially with the we'll talk about it here for a quick second, with the controversy of The Conjuring House going up for auction, you would think, yeah, with all the news, you know, with all the hubbub that's gone on with the news of the auction of The Conjuring House, people would see that and see that there's still interest in that field, yeah, right? So you would think that the networks would recognize that and go, well, maybe we jumped the gun, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the box office of that Conjuring, I know certain reviews haven't been so great, and they've picked stories from other cases of Ed and Lorraine for this movie. It's mm-hmm. not a direct line on how the Smell family were affected. But it's good box office. It puts bums on seats, which ideally then grows the community of people being interested, I hope. So.
Well, I went and I saw Black Phone 2 last night. Great movie. I liked it. A lot. In fact, I'll do a quick review of it here when we get finished. But it's it again, Hollywood is still beating the drum for paranormal films or paranormal, yes, horror films. They're still reaching and saying, you know what, we realize there's still an audience there. We know,
yeah,
people are still interested. We just, yeah, you know, we don't know that we want to put the funding into it. You know, we'll dip our toe in the water, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah. And that's the thing, is that VHS franchise launched another one, and that's like Halloween based this time, yeah, and that comes across really well in it. The obviously that's kind of found footage and things like that, and it would be good if a big studio did put money into a paranormal film. That would be fantastic. And I know the Conjuring rights does have quite an epic budget for comparison to paranormal movies, but something like that, you can make a film on a budget like that. But yeah, it would be good if someone big, the big studios, actually opened their wallet and gave some readies towards the funding of that. Definitely, you can get the right producer in, you can get a great movie. You know, you can edit it right, and even use you guys, you know, use the evidence that we've had around us, tell a great story. Mm-hmm. You've got people who can write, so kind of like create something that, you know, is going to grab your attention and scare the, I won't swear, I know you can on this thing, but you know,
can,
what I mean,
yeah,
scare the crap out of you,
yeah,
and that's about the most you'll get from me. But you know, and this, let's watch a great movie. Yeah,
yeah. So we're mentioning paranormal TV shows.
Yes.
So how does Ghost Adventures come up with or come up against the Ghost Hunt Company? What? How did the two get together?
Yeah, it's a little bit before my time, because I joined in 2018, but Steve and the company of Ghost Hunt Events started in 2010, and Ghost Hunt Ghost Adventures were coming over to the UK to film, and they were going to do ideally they were going to do bits around London, and they used the London Dungeon, but they wanted a venue to go and investigate in down south, and they used, basically they contacted Steve himself and Ghost Hunt Events and said, look, we're coming down to film, would you be interested in investigating? And if you watch the episode, Steve and the team, which is Steve and Kim and Sean, who are still with us on the teams, and they come along with us, and they were part of Ghost Adventures UK. They helped them investigate Fort Horsted, because that's very, very active and still one of the venues we go to as well in Kent, but has a lot of activity, and they got got some great evidence there as well, some audio and some other parts that things that were happening. But they go over the evidence that Steve has caught at his time at ghost hunt events there, and what he had, and a couple of the volunteers had their experiences being followed, and a few other things as well. So that's what then happened, was ghost hunt events, and ghost adventures joined up as a team of Avengers, as it were. So to use a modern analogy, and I won't say which character's which, but it certainly it worked really well. And when you see it on screen, it's good for the, you know, it's good for the ghost adventures of coming to the UK and using a really good paranormal team as well. So.
Right. I kind of wish they still did that kind of traveling. I know they've closed down their scope of where they travel.
That's for sure.
So different locations in which ghost hunt events goes to there. Yeah. Which locations do you have, like a stable of locations that you take your guests to? Do you have a set amount of locations, or how do you work that?
Yeah, I cover a short distance for myself, as far as I cover events between Charlton House in London and the actual sites, which are in Essex and in Suffolk. We have a couple, quite a number in Suffolk. We have Glenham Hall, we have Tide Mill, and we've got a new Christchurch mansion, which is coming up shortly. I cover all of those events locally. But I've been as far as Shepton Mallet Prison in Somerset.
Oh, wow.
And that's a fantastic venue. Yeah. It's come up again for next year, and would highly recommend going to see that, because we have the run of the prison to go, and it's similar to one of your prisons over there in your mental institutions, where it's such a big place, but you're able to investigate it and get different. We have so much stuff happen and things, and we have lots of volunteers come with us, and then we have lots of guests join in and do all of that as well, and a couple of staff, certainly Thomas, who's with us, who normally comes with me on events. He saw his first shadow figure there, looking over at him, looking out from one of the prison cells, and that's the strongest I've seen. A glass was trying, where it was on a table and a Ouija board, it was trying to come away from the man's hand. I've never seen it. It was Ephraim and Jeffenham. It wasn't spelling the swear words properly like he would in a prison. It was using the slang, but this glass was trying to leave the man's hand. I've never seen that before.
Really?
That was incredible what I was seeing. And it's that prison is one of our certainly one, but we get, you know, we do with lots of events at Halloween, all coming up to Halloween, as it's our Christmas, as it were, when we have our Halloween. Mm-hmm. And we have lots of events. Last year we had HMS Warrior in Portsmouth. This year we're going to the Red Lion Hotel in Essex, and then we're actually going to Glenham Hall the night after, on November the 1st. We're going to Glenham Hall, and that's a lovely mansion, which was owned. And for me personally, Glenham Hall has a lot of history tied in with the sport that I follow, a particular soccer team, football team called Ipswich Town. Mm-hmm. And the people who owned Ipswich and put the money in, Ed Sheeran's got a wedge into Ipswich Town at the minute. But the team, the actual family before, when Ipswich won the FA Cup and put ideally Ipswich Town on the map, they're the family, and that's the house we go to investigate. Wow. So when I went in there the first time, there was the Ipswich Town crest and a few cups and a few pictures, and that's where my idols and my heroes went and go and played snooker with the family, and chatted deals. And, you know, Bobby Robson, who used to manage England, he would have gone through those halls. And you know, so it's how life kind of takes you on that little journey of connections and the family of the Ipswich Town, that kind of grows the community, that what they did, you know. And, yeah. And we get to go and investigate that property. So
isn't that something, man?
It is, definitely.
Yeah, it's something else. It's crazy how life takes you in certain directions, especially when you're when you're going after pursuing something that is a passion, and you you run into people that enjoy that same passion or it's tied to that passion, and the people you meet along the way are just spectacular. Yeah.
Definitely. Absolutely.
It's something else.
Yeah.
So you have some events coming up with Ghost Hunt events as well, coming up in the next few months here?
Yeah, if you go to ghosthuntevents.co.uk, we have the events from now going all the way up, and we kind of finish about November, and then we start again in January. And we've got events available all for next year, all the events for 2026. Most of them are on the website, ready to go as well. But we have the events for this year where they're on the sites, and you can go by the actual areas we cover and by the counties, or you can just go by the dates on when you're free to go and investigate. And we have the whole venue from 8 in the evening until 2 in the morning. So we do our sessions. So we do a kit session, a table tipping session, a Ouija board session, then a seance. And then we say, here's the equipment. This is how you've seen it, how it worked. When you have this equipment, you can go and investigate. And we let our guests go and investigate from there. So you have a couple of hours to go and investigate yourselves with us. Obviously, any questions, there's never a silly question in paranormal. So you can come up to us and ask away, and we will help you. And we say, you know, use your phones and take pictures. And we've had some fantastic pictures. And I know I've sent you a couple in the past of information that we've kept. And just some that the guests have taken. And it looks like someone, as you know, is looking back at us when you change it on the filters. It looks like a figure pointing back at us. So our guests have been fantastic and influential in what we grab as far as evidence. And we as a team have got some great evidence in the past as well. So we're very lucky with that.
Is there a particular location you're looking forward to coming up in the beginning of the year?
I was going to say Glenham Hall in a little while, where we had that fantastic photo there. Mm-hmm. That's a fantastic one to go to. And obviously for me, where it has that football connection, that's fantastic as well. But it's always good there. The hosts there are ever so good with us, because they come with us as well. The actual people there, they also make sure the property's all safe. But they're in the main hall with us there. And they've had some stuff in the past, and they've now become guests. They've bought tickets and come with us another venue. So we're very lucky with that as well. And so we, you know, it's not just us saying how, you know, come with us. It's actually we get to referrals on that side of it. And it's really good on that side that Ghost Hunt Events has had the legacy as it had from 2010, from there, and using different equipment to having all the equipment you see on the TV shows and just, you know, the table tipping, the Ouija boards, the seances, basic stuff that you can go and investigate as a member of the public and see what you can find.
Excellent indeed. Well, Dave, stay with me here. I'm gonna do a quick review of Black Phone 2, and then we'll wrap things up here and we'll let everybody go for the day. I did get the opportunity to see Black Phone 2 yesterday. It opens Friday at a theater near you. Simple overview. Bad dreams are haunting 15-year-old Gwen as she receives calls from the Black Phone and sees disturbing videos of three boys that are being stalked at a winter camp. She's accompanied by her brother, Finn. You may remember him from the first movie, being stalked by the Grabber. And yes, the Grabber's in this movie as well. Although you may remember the Grabber kind of got it in the first movie, right? Well, he's back. You'll find out exactly how he's back in this movie. They head to a Bible camp to solve the mystery, only to be confronted by the Grabber and the killer, who's grown even more powerful in death. Yes, he's back, but he's in spirit this time. Incredibly interesting premise in this movie, that these three boys are communicating through Gwen and through her dreams. There's a huge paranormal tie in this movie, and a fascinating premise to the movie. I like the fact that they've built layers in this movie, and the director of this movie, Scott Derrickson, has done a wonderful job at the movie. I really think it's a movie that you're going to enjoy. I would say it's probably not as good as the first Black Phone.
Okay, yeah.
But I'll say 3 out of 5. Give it a 3 out of 5. Yeah. I think you'll like it. I think it's well worth a matinee. I don't know if you'd pay full price for it, but the ending is maybe a little too predictable. But I think you guys will enjoy it. I think it's a good story. There's a few jump scares in there that are worth it. 3 out of 5, definitely. I definitely enjoyed Black Phone or Black Phone 2. And I would say go see Black Phone 2 again. Opens up Friday at a theater near you. So there you go.
Excellent.
Black Phone 2. Go see it. All right, folks. That will do it for today. I want to thank Dave Clark. First of all, I want to thank you so much for joining me today.
No worries. Thank you, Tim. And to Mally and Jess, keep on doing what you're doing with the Darkness Radio as well as with Tim. And good luck with the books, Jess. I'm sure she won't have any problems. And Mally with her paranormal girl that she does and all the franchise. And keep up with the Nutella ingredients. We still want those. We want some of those bits as well. That's okay, because I get a secret passion of mine is that Nutella is very nice. So yeah, thank you so much, and appreciate all your time tonight. And for me being as a guest, as I said, you guys have been a major influence to me and being my paranormal investigation journey, and you guys started it all. So thank you so much. I'm very lucky and privileged to be back, certainly on the show, certainly. And I know I've been chatting to you over the last couple of years. We touched on that, you know, you've been throughout my family with my daughter and different things as well. So I appreciate all of that and what you do, Tim, and you do a fantastic job. So thank you.
Well, appreciate you, sir. Folks, a couple of notes before we leave you tonight. One, the Darkness Radio app is in the middle of being updated, I believe, in some of your systems. iOS 26 is soon to be on the way. There are new iPhones, iPhone 17, I believe. So just stay patient. If yours is one of the ones that's being updated, we'll give you updates as that is being updated. So that's one. Two, if you are listening to the show on audio and you're not watching it on video, well, catch up. It's on YouTube. It's the original Darkness Radio, or just go to darknessradioshow.com. You'll see the video along with the audio. They're all in one place there. If you just click on the name of the show that you're looking for, videos on top of the audio, you can watch the video and audio all together at one place, darknessradioshow.com, or just go to the YouTube channel, the original Darkness Radio. Be sure you like and subscribe once you watch the video. We'd appreciate it if you would. Also, we're at the weekend. So, folks, if you're going to a Renaissance festival this weekend, a church festival, if you're going to a football game, whatever it is you're going to, if you're taking anyone out or you're going out with the family, make sure you take someone who's disabled or is elderly, someone with you who can't get out of the house. Take them with you and make sure they get out and enjoy as well. It's a message from your friends here at Darkness Radio. Be a light in someone's darkness this weekend. We would greatly appreciate it if you would. All right, that'll do it for this weekend. More great stuff coming up next week. It's a great month. Boy, we got a great month scheduled for you this month for October and even getting into November. I tell you, I've even got stuff scheduled into December. Boy, do I have a guest to start off December that's going to curl your hair. It's a great set of shows coming into all the way into December. So we're going to end the year with a bang here. So I'm looking forward to these shows that are coming up. I hope you are too. If you have a guest suggestion for us, tim@darknessradio.com, I'll get them fit in. But boy, I'll tell you, we're rolling coming into the new year. Remember, January 1 will be 20 years. So We got some stuff planned for year 20. I think you're going to really enjoy. So, all right, folks, that'll do it. Have a great weekend. Go be a light in someone's darkness. We'll see you back here on Tuesday for True Crime Tuesday. Thank you so much. And by the way, we love you guys. Thank you so much for continuing to watch and listen to the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT. Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.